Don't let someone steal your great idea. Register a domain name now and put your idea online. GoDaddy is offering one new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. Whether you're building your dream business or starting a website for fun, visit GoDaddy.com and enter WWC295 at checkout. It's go time. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Again, the code is WWC295. Get it? Because it's like watch what crappens, 295, because it's $2.95 for whatever you're going to buy. Well, it has to be a new .com or
transfer. Oh, I just got that. I'm glad you explained
isn't that so,
it.
So original. Why don't you just start a website about how original that deal is? So everyone, GoDaddy.com, WWC295, and you get a new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. What a wonderful Mardi Gras.
That's what Shaw's Vanderpump rules. Come gather round and make fun of his fools.
A podcast of Bravo, nothing runs with Bravo.
If that's okay, we only care about Bravo. Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, a podcast about all the crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV, and with me is Ben Mandelker of B-Side Blog. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
And we have a special guest today. She is a recapper from Trash Talk TV. Right now she's doing Southern Charm, and she was doing Vanderpump Rules before that. And her name is Alexandra August. Hello, Al.
Hello, hello.
Welcome. It's your first time.
I know it is. I'm really nervous. Did you bring a condom?
Your podcast, chere.
My chere is about to be broken.
Yeah, our podcast sperm does not make podcast babies. Don't worry. You'll be fine. This isn't Southern Comfort.
Good. I can't take care of anything but myself right now.
You can find me on Twitter at TrashTweetTV to find recap stuff. And my personal is at Ronnie Karam. And what else? I've been doing Tumblr. That's really fun. It's Trash Talk TV Recaps. I've been making a lot of gifts and stuff. And you can find Ben at B-Side Blog pretty much everywhere. Online, bsideblog.com. On Twitter, B-Side at B-Side Blog. On Facebook, at B-Side Blog. At Instagram, at B-Side Blog. Everywhere. Grindr.
B-Side Blog.
B-Side Blog. All of that.
Scruff, B-Side Blog.
Scruff, yeah. Craigslist. Missed Connections, B-Side Blog.
M for M, B-Side Blog. Yeah. I actually signed my M for M. My anonymous connections, I actually signed B-Side Blog. I go against the rules.
Alex, what is your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is Alex August, A-L-X August. And honestly, I'm bad at the tweeter. So if you really just... You can just not go on it. Just go on Trash Talk TV and follow my recaps, because literally the only thing I tweet is my recaps.
Yeah, talk closer to here when you talk, and or talk louder.
I'll probably just talk louder.
Yeah, we're sharing a mic, so sorry about that.
Yeah, and my mic isn't working, so the audio is all wonky on this episode.
Yes, this is a great start, everybody.
I know, I'm feeling very chippy today. You know, I'm proud to announce that about half an hour ago, it's only about noon today, and I've already snapped at one of our listeners on the Facebook page today.
You did? Why? What happened?
I got the spirit of Matt Whitfield in me today.
Who are you telling off on Facebook? Now I have to go look. Oh, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens and on Twitter at whatcrappens. And that's enough of that Twitter crap.
It wasn't like a big tell-off, but like we have a recurring guest, Katie, who Ronnie and I are friends with, and we've known for a while, and we really like Katie, and it's really nice when she's able to come on the podcast with us. It always helps us. We always like having a third person. It helps us as podcasters. We just like it. And Katie has, I guess some people are just not big fans of hers,
Katie,
which is fine. You know, you don't have to like all of our guests. Although I'm sure Alex will be nothing but a stellar hit. People are like, "Wow, she's polarizing the audience. She's ruining the podcast. She's doing this. She's doing that. Like she's, you know, da 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 da." And she's always pushing her agenda. I'm like, she has no agenda. Her agenda is that she was sitting around, and we're like, "Hey, can you come talk about Bravo?" She's like, "Okay, sure." She does it as a favor for us. So it's all this, like, yapping about Katie is starting to annoy me. So that's why I snapped. But I think I'm gonna blame this on Aviva Drescher because I think she I'm in an Aviva mood.
Oh, good. Well, that'll make for a good podcast. So why don't we start off with Real Housewives of New York, because that's the most recent one I watched, because effing Time Warner. Okay, look, I know that Time Warner doesn't listen to this, but fuck you, Time Warner, okay?
Yeah.
I stopped paying for cable because you guys are fucking ridiculous. And I was still getting free basic cable just through the line, and they switched everything to digital, and now I don't get anything but CBS. And when I called to complain, the guy laughed at me on the phone, and he was like, "Well, you don't pay for it." And I was like, "That's not the point.
That's the principle."
So yeah, now I like that. I cannot watch anything night of. I have to wait for somebody to upload that shit. You know, this is going to ruin my podcasting schedule. It's going to ruin my recap schedule, and I'm not paying $40 a month to watch crap on Bravo. I'm not going to do it.
Well, you know what? The sense of entitlement you have is great, because that's really the spirit of a Bravo star.
I should have a sense of entitlement. Fuck them for trying to make me pay. That shit has commercials. I have to sit there and watch commercials. I have to pay you now to watch commercials. That is some bullshit. I'm old enough to remember when cable came out, and they were like, this is great because people will pay for it, and you don't have to watch commercials. Remember that bullshit? And then we all got it, and then they all started charging us. Fuckers.
Yeah.
So I'm yeah. Mad.
Look, we're all chippy today.
Yeah, I'm really mad.
Alex, complain about something.
It was really warm on my way to work today, and I thought I was going to get here faster, but I didn't.
Yeah, it's hot. It's hot now. It's summer here.
It's hot now. I wish it was back on the East Coast where there was snow. LA is so hard.
Guys, can you believe St. Patrick's Day was just 2 days ago, and now it's like boiling hot? It's crazy.
Yeah, not cute.
Yeah, I had to go to the beach in February, and I was really, really upset about it.
How awful. I mean...
I did not have time to do yoga to get my bikini body all ready.
Okay, so Real Housewives of New York. So Real Housewives of New York is starting off really, really great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Last year, everyone was mad because Carol never said anything to anyone's face. It was just all snarky remarks, you know, to us on the little diary room
camera.
Which
I thoroughly enjoyed, frankly. Carol became my favorite housewife.
Me too. But all the housewives complained at the reunion. And now Carol has just come out swinging. She's already called Aviva a stupid bitch.
But she has full reason to. Yeah. I was surprised she didn't hit her this episode. Apparently she does next week, but, well, not really hit her, but she grabs her face.
Good. It's about time someone grabbed that face and put a banner up on it and said, congratulations for making it to your new house.
And having Hurrah. Two eyes but one leg.
Okay, so if you guys don't watch it, Carol is a book writer, and Aviva's going to write a book, and everyone hates Aviva already before anything even happens. And Aviva goes to lunch with Carol to, I guess, I don't even know what she was doing there, trying to get advice. I don't know what she was doing, but basically started hinting around that she didn't write her book. And then Carol's like, well, did you write your book? And she's like, yeah, it wasn't that hard. It was like writing emails. And then an editor put it together.
Yeah.
So Carol's already pissed. And then Aviva, you know, felt the diss and went around telling everybody that she heard Carol had a ghostwriter on her book.
I have to tell you, within 8 minutes of this episode, I was already cringing. And I knew it was just going to go to a worse and worse place in the best possible way. When they had that lunch and Aviva's talking about, oh, well, you know, writing, it's just like writing an email. It's like very easy for me. You know, I'm not like Carol. I don't, if someone says that to me, I'm like, fine, you know, like writing is writing, et cetera, but I could see how Carol was getting so pissed off, and that was making me cringe. And then when for Aviva to insinuate that Carol had a ghostwriter, this is going to be an episode. This season is off to a great start.
Well, then she, like, first of all, in the lunch, she dropped the single white female thing, and then that's all I could think about for the rest of the lunch. I'm like, you kind of are a creepy stalker with the glasses and everything.
Oh, yeah, because Aviva showed up with her glasses. You remember when I, like, loved you and was, like, stalking you, and then I went and got your glasses? I mean, they're similar, but they're not exactly the same.
I hope you didn't get my glasses because they're mine. And I feel like in Carol's head, Aviva was, like, sneaking around, like she had a ninja leg on for this act, like sneaking around her house looking for, like, trying to pick up stuff, cutting off a lock of Carol's hair while she slept.
You know, like, this is, you know, now the second season in a row where someone's tried to steal Carol's style. I believe it was Luann last season who was, like, I think, like, wore a capelet or something that Carol had worn and caused Radziwill to bristle.
Yeah, Well, Aviva, I'm so sick of how she's talking already. She sounds like an ambulance, like a really low tone ambulance. It's coming down the street and everybody has to pull over. Ah.
But she can't like quite close her mouth. So every time she finishes a sentence, her mouth kind of hangs open just a little bit and waits for the next one. It's just, I couldn't stop staring at that. I know it's weird, but I just couldn't stop looking at it.
Well, there's something sort of hilarious about a woman who's overtly kissing ass, trying to get in everyone's good graces. Oh. And then the first thing she does after this lunch is start talking shit about Carol.
And I'm sorry, I have to say, the idea that nobody has dropped the word slander on Aviva, like, after this episode, isn't it, I'm sorry, if you say that somebody didn't write a book they said they wrote when they actively did, like, that's gotta be damaging to someone's career, at least, it's gotta be possibly damaging to somebody's career. I'm shocked that nobody was like, maybe you should stop calling out Carol for something she clearly didn't, like, didn't do.
Well, she brought it up on the Bravo blogs. Someone put a link to the Bravo blogs for us, and I read a little bit of it. I mean, Carol really goes off. It's like 6 pages, which I don't need that much. I'm not reading that much about Housewives. Sorry. But she did mention slander in that, so we'll see.
Well, the thing is also that is funny is that Aviva doesn't understand, I think, what Carol is trying to say, which is that for 20 years she's been writing, even though it has not been as a book. You know, she's been writing columns, she's writing this or that, and you do develop a voice, and then the next step is you go to a book. And then Aviva's just like, oh, I'm going to just write a book. So it's a natural question to say, oh, are you going to have a ghostwriter, someone who's experienced in taking your thoughts or whatever, and like and writing it? And Aviva is shocked that anyone would expect her to have a ghostwriter, and yet then she immediately goes and accuses Carol of having a ghostwriter. I mean, it's totally bonkers.
Well, not and on top that, of that, Aviva keeps on saying, like,
she keeps on saying over and over again to defend herself. She keeps saying, well, you know, it takes a village to write a book.
No,
and the fact that Carol says she doesn't have a ghostwriter is ridiculous. But then in the same breath, she talks about how she's not doesn't have a ghostwriter. So how can you do this whole village thing and then act like you're writing it alone?
That thing, that pissed me off so much. Just it takes a village to write a book. Takes a village to, like, first of all, you aren't a writer. You aren't in this industry at all. So the idea that you're talking about it like you are was so, so frustrating. And then the idea that she keeps bandying around this phrase, I just kept screaming, like, doesn't take a village to write a book. Takes a village, perhaps, to produce a book. But there's one writer. Stop saying that. Stop it right now.
Yeah. You've never written anything, Aviva. Bravo blogs do not count in a literary career.
And also, like, a village raising a child, that never works out well either. You know? Like, what happened to all these working parents? Look at your children. They're stealing cars.
I don't think I've actually ever encountered a child that was raised by an entire village. And I think it probably wouldn't turn out as well as people say.
Well, is it just the one child in the village that the village is raising? That always made me curious. Like, so is the village raising a lot of children? Because then I feel like that's just a village with parents raising their children.
And have you looked around your village lately? Because my village has, like, homeless people screaming at the sky and pooping on the sidewalk in front of you, like, anger pooping at me.
Yeah. It'd be like, I don't want a single child who's been raised solely by Los Angeles.
Yeah. Maybe in, like, a little village somewhere.
I'd want to see that child at, like, an exhibit of some kind. I wouldn't want it to be my child, but if somebody else let Los Angeles raise their child, I'd certainly be interested in seeing that in, like, you know, an art installation.
I feel like children raised by villages are, like, the kids on The Pioneer Woman, and those kids creep me out.
The Pioneer Woman, that cooking show?
Oh, my God. They're all homeschooled on the ranch.
Isn't that country singer and Garth Brooks' wife?
No, that's the Trisha Yearwood. Okay, every single show on Food Network is like a country, down-home, southern-style cooking thing, you know? So I understand why you get confused. But the Pioneer Lady is, or Pioneer Woman, I forget what it is, she had a blog, and now she has a show. And basically, she has all these homeschool kids, and they run from the Baptists on Sunday, and her husband only eats steak.
Oh, good. I mean, how many different ways do you need to know how to mash a potato? Those stupid Southern shows are all the same. It's like, we're going to make some fried chicken and cornbread. It's like, you've made that 20 times. Make something else.
No, we need more Ina Garten clones.
Well, Ina Garten, it's like, I don't need to see more pork loin either. You know, they all
have
their thing.
Pork loin over grits.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really hungry right now. And
I know, I'm starving. I haven't had lunch, by the way. You know, I feel like I'm very transparent on this podcast today. Like, I'm hungry. I think I'm actually hangry. This is a hangry podcast.
So what else about Real Housewives of New York? So Bookgate is going to be the fight, obviously, that lasts the whole season. And I'm so glad to have a fight of actual substance, because usually it's like, you didn't come to my tea party. And that's the fight of the whole season. So I'm actually glad that it's going to be something good. And I'm glad that Carol's ready to kick some ass, especially with her voice.
I'm glad that she's actually...
How could you say I had a ghostwriter? I wrote it myself.
Awful bitch.
I'm my own ghostwriter.
People work so hard to be writers. We work for years and hone our craft.
It's like your last book was about, like, dry vaginas, like, lubing up to do old guys. Shut up.
It's the widow's guide to ghostwriting.
Yeah. This ain't fucking... I'm trying to think of a classic book and I can't. This ain't Tale of Two Cities, okay, lady?
I was going to make... This ain't Charlotte Bronte, but that doesn't even make sense.
I was going to go with Jenner, too.
This isn't the Bronte sisters. This isn't Ethan Frome.
It's somewhere in the 21st century, as a matter of fact.
I was watching... Before Real Housewives of New York started again, they were showing all of last season. I have little bugs up there. What are those things?
Fruit flies.
But I don't... Oh, maybe because I'm a fruit? But they were showing a clip. I mean, they were showing the last episode, I guess. And it was when Carol was reading the beginning of her book at that book party. And she's like,
this is the story of a vagina. A dry, dry raisin of a vagina that found love again with a little water put on top of it.
I was like, this book is gross. I don't want to read this book.
Well, what I love about this whole Bookgate thing is that they did flash back to the season premiere last season when Aviva, so above and beyond, kissed Carol's ass. I mean, she just went out of control to say how much she loved this book. And now she hears one rumor from this publishing house and she's passing on like facts. Like, if you love this writer and this is your friend, wouldn't you sort of say, well, that's probably not true? I mean, you have to also question the credibility of this publishing house. They're saying that they rejected Carol's book, and Carol's saying there was a bidding war. Maybe the publishing house has some sour grapes. Isn't that like a possibility?
Well, yeah. Well, what they're saying on the blog is that there was a bidding war, they didn't bid high enough, so they lost it. And also, Bill is Carol's editor. He's not a ghostwriter.
Yeah,
so basically Aviva completely misconstrued an entire story. Because they basically probably said, yeah, Bill did a lot of editing on that. Someone probably made a remark, like a casual remark, like, yeah, he practically wrote it because, you know, he probably was editing so much. And next thing you know, Aviva's off and running with this ghostwriter thing.
She's a damn moron. I think the thing I like most about this fight is that Carol actually has, no pun intended, a leg to stand on. I feel like in so many of these fights, like, the person who is actually angry is angry over something so ridiculous. Carol is like, no, shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. This is industry standard. Aviva is so egregiously wrong in what she is saying that Carol is flabbergasted and actually pissed and has good reason to be. Like, I loved watching it. It's like, oh my God, you're in the right and you actually have a brain and you're intelligent. This is so bad.
Well, you know, it's like, it's so rare that Carol actually, you know, gets mad and gets into a fight. I don't think she got into a fight all of last season. No. And I don't think she's doing this because she's like, oh, season two, I better step it up. She's in a fight, like you said, because she's just totally flabbergasted and she cannot believe this craziness.
It's delicious. But my favorite part was when Heather told Aviva, what's your book going to be about? Your leg? Because
you need a hook.
Because when people aren't famous, I mean, who's going to read their book? It's like, and then Aviva's like, listen, Heather, if I needed fat people shapewear advice, I'll ask you.
Yeah, but that being said, like, since when is Aviva an authority on writing books? That's the logic that Aviva's using, that, like, Heather is the authority on squeezewear, and that Aviva is now the authority on writing.
Next season, Aviva will come out with, like, a line of saran wrap that you can wrap around your waist, and she'll start telling Heather, like, how to run her business.
By the way, just so you all know, there's something weird going on with my Skype, and sometimes when you guys are talking, I can't hear it. So if I talk over you, I apologize.
Oh, it's okay. Well, hopefully you're cutting out on our end and people are just hearing us and then just some pauses.
Maybe we're just all talking all at once, just like one of these housewife fights.
Yeah. You didn't come to my party.
You know what, by the way, you know what I love about Bookgate? It somehow makes me feel very cultured.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm watching people like fight about literary things.
New York is the most cultured of the shows, I will say. So this is completely appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, I feel smarter now. Smarter and stupider at the same time.
I'm about the same. I watched Atlanta for the first time last night, so now I'm, and then, but I also watched New York, so I feel like I got a little dumber and a little smarter, so I'm about equalized.
Well, I'm so glad. This podcast will now take it all away.
I love that the bar is so low that we feel smarter just by listening to someone talk about writing. Like, none of us are actually reading anything. It's just all about, like, hearing people talk about books. I'm like, see, we're smart. They talk about books on Something We Watch.
How do you guys feel about Kristen thus far? Because I kind of want to, like, take her home and make her my new pet. She's really adorable. She reminds me of a sweet little kitten, bunny rabbit kind of thing. She's so earnest.
I am a big fan of her so far. I think she's great.
Yeah, I love her too. And I love her already because in the preview, they keep showing Ramona apologizing to her for throwing a wine glass in her face. And she's like, I'm really glad you apologized, Ramona, because otherwise you would be a monster. And then just Ramona's face while she's chugging wine. It makes her one of my favorites.
Already. I believe in Kristen's head. Like, she thinks that if Ramona hadn't apologized, Ramona would have transformed, like, grown some horns, turned green, and become an actual monster.
Would you be surprised? Would you be surprised if I turn into a monster? I'm a businesswoman, and there's a big business in monsters. Disney makes movies about them.
My mother always said you always have to be your own monster because you can't be reliant on another man to be your monster for you.
I love her. Well, you know, Aviva's telling everybody that you didn't write your own book. Talk to her! Oh.
Calm down! By the way, one other thing about Bookgate that I forgot to mention. I absolutely loved when Aviva did the whole, you're up here and I'm down here, and Carol completely said that Kelly Ben-Simone was her ghostwriter. I was like, oh snap, a Kelly Ben-Simone zing. It made me very happy.
I actually fist pumped when that happened in my apartment alone.
Well, was she saying, she was saying that she felt like Carol was acting that way towards her, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and then Carol interviewed that she was like, really? Kelly Ben-Simone, like, maybe Kelly Ben-Simone.
We've all heard that one before, Aviva.
It was great. It made me happy. It made me realize how great the New York City franchise is.
Although, they did show the previews for next week, and it's Ramona crying about her fucking daughter going to
college. I know.
I'm so over it. Bravo. We don't care. Stop trying to make us think these ladies are youthful enough to know their kid is going to college. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. I'm sick of watching the kids go to college. I'm sick of watching the spray tanning, which happened this episode. And I'm sick of watching the vagina waxing, which I'm sure will happen in about 3 weeks.
When Kristen actually said, as she is damn near buck naked, ass hanging out on national television, says, I feel like I'm on display.
I get this strange feeling that people are watching me.
Well, she's used to the cameras, but Sonia's literally standing there licking her chops like she's about to eat a cub. It's like a hyena about to eat the little baby lion.
Like, Kristen, well, you're right to be creeped out, but not for the reasons that you are creeped out.
Well, Sonia is basically a horny old bat, and as evidenced by the fact that she calls, like, her interns in, and she's in, like, this very skimpy piece of lingerie, and she's, like, asking them to look, like, yeah, it looks good on me, right? Looks good? I mean, like, that would be sexual harassment in many situations.
I wrote in my notes, God, I hope that intern's gay, but I know he's not.
I'm sorry, I'm reading the Facebook comments now that you're getting in trouble on there.
I am?
Yeah. So what else from New York? So we get to see Harry this season. Harry's going to be on a lot. That old fucking bag boning half of New York City with his plugs hanging out.
I kind of fell in love with him this episode.
God, when do standards go that low? I mean, those women that keep themselves together, why don't the men have to keep themselves together? That guy looks like he looks like an unfinished, what do you call those things where you like sew pictures into like a cloth? Needlepoint. He looks like an unfinished needlepoint. It's like it's going to say home sweet home, but nobody's finished it yet.
I thought he looked like a slightly deflated bag of laundry.
Okay, so what else happened on this stupid show?
Aviva's son has a living room for a bedroom.
Yeah, that was very peculiar to me.
I kept waiting for her to be like, this is your room, haha, just kidding, it's the den. But they never said that, so I'm like, does your child no longer need a bed? Is he so glued to, like, television and video games? You were like, fuck it, we'll just get him a couch.
Well, what would you do if Aviva was your mother? I'd be glued to something, too.
Shudder to perish the thought.
I'd be glued to a pipe.
Oddly enough, her whole new townhouse kind of reminded me of Alex and Simon's townhouse in Brooklyn.
Yes!
Because townhouses in New York all kind of look the same. They're just like big, old,
narrow,
and too expensive.
Slightly falling apart, always mid-remodel.
And I thought it was very strange that at her housewarming party, she set up a bar in her bedroom.
Yeah, and that appeared to be where guests entered and were hanging out. That was, and that whole exchange with Ramona and Mario and Reed and Harry and everybody on Aviva's bed talking about how they've all slept together. Even Ramona said that was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know it's weird.
I was just trying to ignore the whole thing. I was staring at Aviva's lamps, which, incidentally, I did like.
Her apartment reminded me of Jill Zarin's when Jill redecorated.
Oh, my goodness. It can't even be that bad.
it was pretty loud. It was pretty loud.
So what else happened on there? I feel like there's one other thing, but I can't remember.
Well, let's see. Let's go through the women. Kristen didn't really do anything this week. She just, I guess Heather, there was talk about Heather and Kristen and like their babies and
I don't care.
Carol got mad at Aviva and Aviva spread gossip and Sonia went on dates. So I guess not that much happened. It's mainly Bookgate and it was pretty good. I think Bookgate pretty much carried the episode.
Yeah, that was a really lovely start.
I like that. I think one of my favorite Kristen moments was when she very sweetly tried to tell Ramona, like, listen, you know, I really think that Carol wrote her book. Like, her name is on the bottom of it, and nobody else's name is next to hers. Ramona just goes, listen, you don't have to, like, nobody's name has to be on the bottom. Okay, it doesn't mean they have to be a ghostwriter. It's a ghostwriter. You don't see the name.
I liked when Ramona, okay. Someone offered Ramona, like, an hors d'oeuvre, and she's like, no.
That's what I do for a living, and I was like, oh, that would have really hurt my feelings.
I know, that's what I was thinking. Like, whenever, if I don't want an hors d'oeuvre, which is never, exactly. But if on the rare chance that I had passed up, I'm like, oh, no, thank you. But she was like, no, 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 and she, like, literally waved her hand, like, get it away.
I'm far too busy. Can't take your hors d'oeuvre.
I'm too busy for this.
Let us talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, the reunion. The reunion.
Why does this need to be 3 hours long? And why were they talking to Kim Richards so much? She didn't do anything the whole year.
It was so painful. And like when they just do the montage of Kooky Kim and it began and it was really funny. And then as it progressed, it just got like sadder and sadder that this is sober Kim. And the faces at the bottom got more and more uncomfortable until they did the fall off the chair thing. And Kyle was just there and like so embarrassed. I had to look away.
Yeah, I love that montage. I was like, hey, yeah, woohoo! Fall, another scene falling. I'm in a car, I'm walking, I'm falling. It's like, oh my god, there's your evidence in any case against you in a DUI trial.
I'm sorry, you cut out there for a moment, so if there was, like, an awkward silence, I'll blame that on my Skype.
It was. I think you're just sitting there reading the Facebook page now.
You know, I think, to me, I mean, it was, like, an hour of, like, just frustration of watching the poor logic of all these women. You know, Brandy's sitting there just being a totally immature bitch, which is not unlike us, but she's doing it on TV, which I think is somehow worse. They're going after everyone. And meanwhile, and Yolanda also is on her high horse. It really bothered me that when Yolanda was talking about when she had like a beef with Kim, and she's like, well, you know, like I was at the class, and you know, I want to talk about things, and Kim didn't want to talk about it. And that's just what I like to do. I like to talk about things. I like to get it out right then and there. And then they cut to, like, Yolanda's friendship, a video montage of Yolanda's friendship splintering with Lisa. And you see Lisa at Gigi's going away party is talking about trying to, like, get things okay with Kyle and Carlton. And Yolanda's like, no, not at Gigi's party. This is not what we do. We don't do this here. I'm like, so which is it, bitch? Do you like to talk it out or do you not like to talk it out? Clearly, if it happens at Gigi's birthday party, it's like you're not allowed to talk it out.
No, she and Brandy have the exact same way of talking things out. They just talk really loud until you can't, and you can't say anything. And if you do say anything, they just criticize you and roll their eyes. Like, that's how they fight.
With absolutely no basis in logic. My favorite was the, like, well, you lived in Calabasas. I paid $99. You lived in Calabasas. It's like, well, we've owned properties there. No, I paid $9.99. You lived in Calabasas. Let's just let it rest.
And I love that Andy was like, well, what's wrong with Calabasas? Like, the Kardashians live there. And Will and Jado live there. Like, it's a really...
Yeah.
Calabasas is really she. Like, Justin Bieber just moved out of Calabasas. Like,
I know.
It's really nice. And Lisa's the point isn't that, you know, she's like, that's not the point. The point is it's a stupid lie. Like, why even make up the lie in the first place?
And that when Andy jumped on the bandwagon with that, I was just like, it's just that she didn't live there. It's not that she has anything against Calabasas. It's just that she
Then Brandy started to backpedal and say, well, it just, the reason why it bothers me is because every time she comes to visit me, she always is like, oh, I need a passport to go to the Valley. And, you know, I think we talked about this last week. You know, it's like that, well, Brandy always jokes about how she's going to sleep with Ken, which is a far worse joke. And Lisa brushes it off. So it's funny that, like, all of a sudden Lisa's not allowed to make jokes about the Valley. And you know what? Even if you had lived in the Valley, if you live far away from the Valley now, I think you're still entitled to make the passport joke. It's okay.
Well, and as if Brandy, if she could fucking afford to live in the basin, as if she would not make those jokes all day long if she had to visit somebody in the Valley, she would be joking about that like nobody's business.
Please, Brandy can't even live in like the good Valley. She's probably in like that next Valley, you know, because there's like the Valley and there's the Valley behind the Valley. That's probably where she is.
She's like Reseda.
Yeah, or Chatsworth.
The thing, you know, the other thing that really pissed me off is that Brandy is just too stupid to even form a real argument. She doesn't even know what she's arguing about or why she's arguing about it. She's just squealing and acting like a dumb bitch. Like this particular one, she's like, you know, she makes that thing about, you made a joke about coming to visit me in the Valley. And Lisa's like, yeah, well, you make jokes at me all the time. That's kind of the point. Like, what about you saying my husband is going to die before we renew our vows? I didn't get mad. And then Brandy's like, yeah, well, you thought that was funny. Like, she's thinking Lisa's getting mad at it. And the point is that she never got mad at it. You dumb bitch. It's like,
I know.
It's like watching,
I want to fight for them. I want to walk into the TV and just sit there and do Andy Cohen's friggin' job for him and just be like, listen, this is what she's saying. This is what you're saying. Okay?
I know.
And every
single show on Bravo, I want to do that. Every single time there's a fight, I'm like, if you all would just use your words properly, you could fix this.
Oh my God, I just came up with the best idea.
What?
Real Housewives LARPing.
What is it?
Real Housewives LARPing. Do you guys know what LARPing is?
No.
Oh my goodness, I will do that in a second.
Live action role playing. Like, it's basically like Dungeons and Dragons, but you get dressed up and you actually act like you're in a Dungeons and Dragons game.
Oh my God, no.
Oh my God, you guys.
I am seeking out a highly patterned dress as we speak.
Oh God.
I'm seeking out a hotel that has a conference room that we can borrow.
I'm seeking out some Pinot Grigio that I can throw.
I'm seeking out some really, really, really big platforms.
I'm seeking out a gun to shoot my fucking self in the head because I've had enough of this life.
I'm seeking out a toaster oven on which to do a photo shoot.
So what else from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
I want to get back to this joking issue because, to be fair, I know people say that sometimes we're too nice to Lisa. To be fair, she also was a little ridiculous because at one point I think there was a question of can Lisa dish it? Lisa can dish it, but she can't take it, which is kind of true. And Lisa, on this point, her way of defending herself was by showing that she actually cannot take it. And then she's like, well, I guess I'll just never tell another joke again for the rest of my life. It's like, no, Lisa, it's not, they're not saying that. They're just saying, just admit that you can dish it. You just can't take it. That's all. That's all you have to say.
Or at least just admit it to end the argument.
I mean, just to be pro-Lisa, because I know people are probably not getting sick of that at all, but Lisa has never come on and complained about somebody saying something that hurt her feelings. Never. And once in 4 years, she's never said, oh, that hurt my feelings. The only thing that she ever talked about was the thing where they were faking a faint, and no one said anything to her in a fun way about that. They came up and literally accused her of faking it. Like, no one made a joke that she didn't take well. You know what I mean? It's not like she took some joke incorrectly. That's not what happened. Kyle and Kim got together to film an entire fucking scene, because they have no lives of their own, watching in Kyle's stupid screening room just to call her a fucking liar about it. And then the way it was brought up to her was at some lunch when Brandy came up and said, well, everyone's saying you faked it. I mean, there was no joke that Lisa didn't take the right way.
Right. You know? And what was terrible about that, too, well, not terrible, but what was annoying about that was that Brandy acts like she's just the messenger. But then, you know, the scene right before that they showed in just this montage, just Brandy is the one instigating that conversation in the limo. And then she's like, oh, well, you know, there was talk about this. Like, no, you were talking about it, Brandy.
Well, I think that's what you guys have been touching on for the past couple of episodes, too, is that Brandy has single-handedly torpedoed her own relationship with Lisa in some ridiculous effort to get more screen time or to take Lisa's place as head bitch, whatever. And it's just, it shows. It's so completely baseless. Lisa has done nothing to Brandy. She's looking for reasons to complain. There's no real reason their friendship should be over except for the fact that Brandy somehow wants to overtake Lisa in her imagination. It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, she's stupid. That's
and
why.
And Brandy
she's
has failed. Yeah,
you know
she's
what? You're stupid.
You're stupid. Yeah, Brandy's just too stupid to even fight. And that you have to be able to fight on a Housewives show. But apparently she's so hated that she is going to keep her job. There's no rumors of her getting fired. There's like a big petition going around to get her fired online. Which just basically means that she will keep her job for the next 10 years. You know?
And you know what? She hates that too. She probably hates everyone. That everyone hates her because she totally thought, as you just said, she totally thought she was going to be like beloved, you know, and because especially because she was liked the past two seasons, but now she's crossed that line and it's hard to come back after you cross that line. I think only Camille Grammer is really the only one who went from really being despised universally to being, you know, adored.
I think you have to start that way. I don't think you can start like Brandy did as a very sympathetic character. And to be like, I really liked her the first season because she was. You know, she'd just been totally blindsided by Eddie Cibrian. She came on and then she was blindsided by Kim and Kyle. And she was just sort of like, okay, I'm just going to chill out and hang out with Lisa. And now she started to believe her own hype to the extent that she actually thinks she is a worthwhile person for writing a book called Drinking and Tweeting. And that she has anything to offer other than the fact that she was a scorned woman. And that's dangerous, dangerous territory.
And by the way, that book was ghostwritten.
Yes.
Just for the record.
Oh, back to New York, though. Heather kept saying that Carol wrote her book. It was on the New York Times bestseller list. And all I kept thinking was, so was Brandy's book. Stop saying that. Thank you for helping, Heather, but you're not helping.
Yeah,
right
so
now.
Is like every rip-off Twilight book that comes out, or every book written for old ladies to finger themselves, you know, like some sex fantasy that's written by like some fanfic fat lady online. Okay? It doesn't take much to be a bestseller right now in the book section.
Nope.
And also, aren't there, like, multiple lists on the New York Times bestseller list? There are multiple lists. It's sort of like the Billboard. There's, like, the Billboard Hot 100 and the Billboard, like, R&B. Top R&B charts and this and that. I feel like there are multiple New York Times book lists. So to get on to say they are on the bestseller list could actually be quite deceiving.
Marsha sent in this tweet to us that she saw online from Brandy Glanville on Twitter. Oh, obviously, I said tweet. Sorry, I'm reading and thinking at the same time, which I can't do. It says, LV could barbecue a baby and people would think it was cute. she is upset that everybody still likes Lisa because she just cannot win. It's like, if you go after Lisa for something legit, okay. But there are plenty of legit things, like we've said in the past, to go after Lisa for that people could get behind you. But you're just too stupid to come up with a really solid plan. You're terrible at this. Just quit. Just stop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and she's sort of proving her own point about Lisa being this Machiavellian chess master. And the thing is, all Lisa is doing is not really being that. She's not really being that. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. She's not really being that Machiavellian. She is simply just not engaging. She's behaving like an adult when everybody else around her is behaving like a toddler. So to them, it looks like she is this just mastermind, you know, puppet master. When really, she's just like, no, I'm not going to engage you with anything.
Yeah, it's like she's the only one who's not a fucking idiot. Like, why? I mean, just watching her reactions was hysterical because at first I was worried because I was like, oh no, she's coming in here as a victim. I do not need this. Like, please don't do this. Because at first she was like, well, what about them being mean to me, darling? And I was like, oh no. But then through the rest of the episode, I don't know if someone told her to be a victim or what, and she just couldn't do it because it's just not in her personality.
Yeah.
And she just sat there giving people the most hilarious looks. And when people would, you know, especially Brandy, when she would just say these stupid things, Lisa didn't even try and argue. She just looked at her like, you're so stupid. Like, I can't, I'm not even going to argue with this. It doesn't make any sense.
She's finally letting Brandy dig her own grave. She's finally like, stop taking the shovel away from her. Stop taking the wine away from her. And said, all right, fine. You can do
exactly. And if Brandy had a brain, which she obviously does not have, she's spent all this time being like, oh, well, Lisa's the master manipulator, but now I'm fighting back and I refuse to be manipulated. Well, as you just said, and she's basically letting Brandy, you know, dig her own grave, which perhaps that is the master manipulation of all, because now Brandy is more hated than ever before. So in her attempt to rid herself of the manipulation, she may have just fallen right into it.
Yeah, but Brandy, I think Brandy's kind of embracing being the villain, right?
because she's not. You know why? Because Brandy is the type that she wants acceptance. She wants to be popular. It's what's driven her all along. That's why she's crass and crude, because she's insecure and she lashes out when she feels like she is being marginalized. She wants to be the prom queen, and she never will be because, I don't know, she was raised in a trailer somewhere. But I don't think she's truly embracing it. She might be acting like she's embracing it, but she's not.
Well, she's not smart enough to play the game. She's not smart enough to be a villain and understand why it's a good thing and how to make it work for her and how to become popular sort of fucking with other people. She's just not, she's just not smart enough for
it. Yeah, her. Aviva, now there's a villain. I mean, that woman, she goes for the gut, she goes for the throat, and she's really funny about it, and I still kind of like her just because she's so fun to watch. Brandy is just stupid. She's not fun to watch.
No, and everything, like I said before, like the fact that she's torpedoing her relationship with Lisa in an effort to give herself some kind of storyline. It's so obvious that it's boring. It's just...
Exactly. I think there's, I agree, to make the Aviva comparison or even Ramona, there is something sort of like thrilling about these loose cannons just exploding and going nuts. Because you know it's coming from a place of... true craziness.
Yes.
Whereas from Brandy, it's like it is sort of more self-serving, and it comes from a bratty place. It comes from a spoiled place. It comes from an ungrateful place, and that's not fun to watch.
I think the one who's really trying to be the master manipulator and failing miserably is Kyle. I mean, it's so obvious. Kyle just sits there at the reunion and stays silent and just watches everybody else lob the bombs that she's put in the cannon, and it's so funny. Like, we all know that you're the one who told Brandy that Lisa was bankrupt and lived in Calabasas. That was stupid. We all know that you were talking shit about Lisa in Paris with Yolanda, which you were the one who let everybody know that. We know that you've been the one trying to turn everybody against them. Well, sorry, honey. The only person that you can control is your idiot sister, Twitch. That's the only person.
Unless you're in a boxing ring, in which case all of Twitch's unresolved anger will come out. You might be in a little bit of danger.
Meanwhile, Yolanda, I enjoyed Yolanda's list of grievances, which centered around the fact that Lisa hadn't visited her when she was bedridden with Lyme disease. And I like that Lisa was like, well, actually, I spent a whole day with you. I did this, I did that, I did that. I called you, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, oh, well.
You know, I only used 5% of my brain last year, so...
Well, you know, my brain doesn't work, and sometimes I'm irritable, but you know, that's it.
Well, I was writing the recap for that this week, and I remember someone posting a tweet, so I put it on our Facebook page, someone please send me a screenshot of that tweet. And they did it. Maggie and Taylor both put it, so thank you, guys. But it said, this is a Yolanda tweet. Lisa and I see each other outside of the show, and our friendship and mutual respect for one another has continued to grow, which rhymes. Which is amazing. Both Brandy and Lisa visited many times and have shown me great support during these past worst 8 months of my life. So which is it, bitch? Because this was just written less than a year ago about how supportive Lisa is and how many times she's come to see you.
Lisa just put that on a sign, like, for the next part of the reunion. Just put that on a little sign, and every time Yolanda, like, starts yapping about whether or not she's her Hollywood friend or her real friend, Lisa just hold up that little sign with a little tweet on it and just not say anything.
Poor Yolanda, trying so hard to have a fucking storyline when she has nothing except fucking some rich ugly dude. You know, that Yolanda, okay, she's been fighting with bloggers online, which is so funny. Like, you're really gonna fight with bloggers? We're just like, we're sitting at home making jokes. Like, if you're so above it, fly above the haters, stupid. She's getting in fights on Twitter, blocking people left and right. One of her fans, and I know this because her name is Yolanda Fan, and she's from the Netherlands, has come onto my YouTube page because of, I guess, I don't even know why she's so... Oh, because I was on Stupid Housewives posts my videos sometimes, you know, because that's like a friendly blog. And that's a controversial blog that Yolanda's fighting with. So I'm posted on there, so now all Stupid Housewives haters are coming to, like, hate me too. And this stupid girl from the Netherlands, Yolanda's fan... I have this picture. I have to pull it up so I can quote it properly. Comes on my YouTube page and comments. Well, first of all, she went on all of my videos and, like, made stupid comments. And I was like, who is Yolanda fan? And why is she watching Survivor videos? You know? So then she comments on my Facebook page, I mean, my YouTube page, and it says, fag equals fat, angry, gay. Fuck you. You know? Oh, and that is such a typical Yolanda fan. Stupid. Just fucking
That's
stupid.
That's terrible.
Stupid and ignorant. Bye. Banned you. Bye.
Stupid.
This rarely happens to me, but I'm speechless. God, how fucking ridiculous.
Oh, the internet's full of loveliness. The
internet is full of trolls. I mean, I guess technically we are kind of trolls because we're trolling these women, but
No, we're not
the trolling. Trolls get so much worse than we are.
Yeah. We're not trolling. We're much commenting. Worse. You know, we're making jokes and having fun. These people are not, like, I'm not going to Kim's personal Facebook page and being like, you stupid drunk, you know, like, and I don't even feel that way about it. You know, I'm just making fun of her on TV.
But by the way, I love by the way, like her backpedaling. Like, we're just like, you know, Brandy, she's too stupid to do this. She's a brat. Oh, just joking. It's just fun.
Well, yeah, but if we're making good jokes about it, that's different than just, like, saying well, stupid shit.
I think also, I would also like to say this, too, that I always feel like when we get really, like, intense about this and we're like, rah, 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 you know, I also would like to qualify that we are reacting pretty much to essentially characters that we see on TV, you know? Because I think with all three of us, we do realize that even though the lines are blurred, that there's a difference between real life and what we see on TV, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel, for some reason, compelled to say that. I want to untroll myself.
Well, did either of you guys watch What Happens last night?
No, because Time Warner cut off my fucking TV.
I love Carol and will continue to love Carol, but she went down the rabbit hole a little bit last night. She got very, like, Andy Cohen asked her about the Aviva thing, obviously, and she went off on a huge rant about it. She's like, listen, I understand that, like, I understand that we fight and all this kind of stuff, but I signed up to do a reality show, okay, and this is just ridiculous. Like, this is just, you know, this is completely made up and stupid, and I just, you know, I want things to be accurate because I signed up for a reality show, not a fiction. I was just like, do you watch reality television?
And do you not remember? It's like, as long as they're allowed to just come on and promote their stupid products, they're okay with it. But yeah, when it becomes, you know, something that they're not happy with, suddenly they start complaining. It's like when Andy was saying during that Real Housewives of Orange County 100th episode or whatever that was.
Oh, and Vicky.
When he said that, he's like, Vicky was calling me at the beginning trying to get me to take things off the internet. And I had to explain to her, like, you can't take things off the internet. That's not how it works. Which, of course, Bravo does try and sue everybody and take everything off the internet, by the way. But yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, it's like, Carol, deal with it, babe. You're on a show about catty women ripping each other to shreds, and you had no problem doing it to anybody else last year, so.
All of these, I feel like there's the cycle of Housewives, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this before, but, like, first season, it's okay. And then second season, like, first season, there are a lot of them kind of try and, like, I'm going to be above the drama and I'm not going to get involved. And then by the second and third season, they are right in the mud with the rest of the pigs. And it's just, you can't do this and expect to keep your hands clean. You're either going to be boring or you are going to just go right down the rabbit hole with the rest of them. I think Lisa and I think maybe Leia, I feel like, are a few of the only two who have managed to really straddle that fence and get down and dirty occasionally, but maintain some semblance of sanity and integrity.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they don't take it that seriously. And right. Carol, too, you know, Carol, you know, the rant on Watch What Happens, that seems a little silly. She should not take that as seriously. But I think, you know, at the same time, I mean, this is her career. And it is funny that Aviva would even say, like, you think you're John Grisham? I'm like, well, you know what, Carol was on Oprah. that makes her John Grisham.
Well, wasn't she on Oprah for different reasons, though?
I thought it was to promote her book.
I thought she was on Oprah when that plane crash happened or whatever.
No, I think it was to talk about her book.
Yeah, I don't know.
A variety of things. I mean,
I don't watch Oprah. Sorry.
All I know is that Carol was on Oprah, Aviva was not. And that's it. End of story.
Yeah, Aviva was on Harry. That's enough to discredit Aviva forever in my eyes.
Absolutely.
That's apparently enough to discredit.
Wait, so any other noteworthy things happen on this reunion? There was Joyce. Really, Joyce got into it a little bit.
Yeah, I was just going to say, one of the most fun things was Yolanda going on and on about nothing, about her Lyme disease. Like, shut up, Yolanda. Yolanda's making Lyme disease at this point. In my mind, Lyme disease is equal to chicken pox. Like, that's how much she's annoying me. At this point, I'm like, stop complaining about having a cold. And Lyme disease is actually a really serious disease. But Yolanda has over-touted it so much, or over-complained so much, that I'm like, oh, stop complaining. It's the mumps. Some pills.
If she had spent half of her screen time actually just being like, hey, this is what Lyme disease is. Like, this is what I had. It really sucks. If she had spent half of the screen time she spent with freaking Gigi putting together a damn dorm room and painting tiles for her, I would have been like, oh my gosh, you know, Lana, like, thank you for telling me about Lyme disease. That sucks that you had that. Get well soon. But no, I had to watch Gigi, like, 24/7.
And the only real argument that Yolanda had, where she was really getting to show off her true C-wordiness, was with Joyce when she was when. And this is another thing. They're only fighting about blogs because they don't have anything on the show to talk about. So it's what they write after that they're actually fighting about, which is kind of meta and hilarious.
Yeah.
But she made some comment. Wait, what was the comment? It was something about the parties.
Joyce said that Yolanda was a bad hostess for doing that dream team thing. And then she said she was a retaliation against Yolanda because Yolanda said that Joyce was a bad hostess for not getting in the pool.
And that's what children do. They get back at each other by, you know. But, Joyce was... Yolanda, wait.
And Joyce, by the way, I would like to defend Joyce in this instance, if I may. Do I have the floor?
Sure.
I'm going to say that I don't think it was childish what Joyce said, because I think what Joyce was saying was, hey, you said I was a bad host for not getting in the pool, but actually what an example of a bad host is to put, like, you know, to make part of your guests feel unwelcome. That's a bad host. I think that's what she was saying. It wasn't like a you said I was a bad host, so I'm calling you a bad host. It wasn't like that. It was a clarification on what it really is to be a bad hostess.
Well, she also, what she was saying was the party she was referring to was the painting party. She was saying that Yolanda was having them all come to her mansion in her lemon grove and blah, blah, blah. And she was making everybody else feel like they were lower than her. I was like, whatever. But I don't know. Just poor Joyce. Like, no one even listens to her. She sits over there and starts yapping, and then Yolanda shuts her down, and Brandy and Yolanda both just talk over her.
And speaking of, and by the way, I love that Yolanda calls Joyce a child for what Joyce wrote in the blog, and yet here comes Brandy being like, "Oh, you look like a figure skater. Why don't you go back to the Olympics?" Like, that's actually, like, so beyond catty. That truly is teasing. It's like, that's taunting. That is childish. That, if anything else, like, you know, everyone always says, oh, you're bullying me. That is an example of anything closely resembling schoolyard bullying, you know, being like, absolutely. Oh, you look like you're a figure skater. Why don't you go to Sochi? You know, like, I'm like, so, and then Yolanda's silent.
Well, and like, vintage Brandy, it was the dumbest insult that you could possibly give somebody. And like, all jokes, like, all of this aside, that outfit was terrible.
It was terrible. It was terrible.
It was really, it looked like something my ice skating Barbie wore. But that aside, Brandy, all Brandy is doing is making Joyce smell like a frigging rose. And she is going to kick herself next season when Joyce is, like, if Joyce is back, and I kind of hope she is. Because she came off looking pretty good this season, and Brandy is just victimizing her just the way she was victimized on her first season that made her look really good. Like,
absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I don't mind Joyce anymore. Like, in the beginning of the season, I was like, oh, she's so fake, and the whole thing she had with the hair flipping, it's so stupid. But by the end of the season, I'm like, you know what? Compared to these other stupid bitches, I am sort of on Joyce's side.
Yeah, I never thought I would say that because I used to call her Karen Rossi. She reminded me of Karen Sear and Gretchen Rossi. But she just really, really bugged me. But now I'm just sort of like, Brandy is being such a cunty bitch to her that I'm just like, girl, all you. I'm on your team.
If Joyce didn't have that initial thing of the hair flick with Lisa, I just thought that was the dumbest thing ever, and I just can't get it out of my mind. Like, I can't be a Joyce fan. She's too stupid for me, too. I mean,
and by the way, I believe Joyce when Joyce says that Brandy called her up and says, you should do this, you should do that, you should do this to Lisa. You know, I believe Joyce in that situation, not Brandy.
Yeah, I do, too. I don't think Joyce is a liar. I just think she's a dum-dum.
Yeah, absolutely. And I absolutely believe that, because Brandy thinks that's what Lisa's doing. Like, Brandy, in her head, Lisa is being, you know, like we said, this master manipulator. So, of course, she's just, her only defense is, I'm just going to do it right back to you. So, she's calling around everybody and telling them what to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite things this week are the rumors that are swirling around that Faye Resnick is going to join the cast next year.
Oh, my
God. Now, Faye refused to come back on the show this year because she was so ripped apart last year for going against Brandy. And, I mean, they were so rude to her on the internet, including us, because she's a stupid bitch.
Oh, yeah.
And she was just doing Kyle's handiwork. But now that Brandy is the big villain, they want someone to come in and take down Brandy. Because, you know, Lisa's not going to. Lisa doesn't give a shit. She'll just stop inviting Brandy over for desserts.
And stop calling her in the morning.
Yeah, desserts. She's like, nope, no tea party for you, darling. You're not going to get one of my cucumber sandwiches. Rocio worked all night on these. But, yeah, they're going to have to bring someone in because Kyle's too much of a wuss, as we just saw. Kyle's already against Brandy again, and she's not going to say anything because she doesn't want to get squealed at. Kim's probably going to be fired. As we saw, someone mentioned Kim's
not going to be aware of the fact that she's fired.
Yeah, so yeah, she'll be like, "Hey, everybody!" She'll still be polishing picture frames in her house and making chicken salad.
She'll be at Costco doing interviews, thinking that she's doing interviews for the show. Yeah, she's talking to the sample lady, being like, "No, I just had that. I didn't think that was nice."
She'll cut out and do her own interviews. Like, yeah. Wow, you know, that sample lady, I just thought she was pretty rude. I don't know about you.
Chicken salad! Hey, that chicken salad lady just missed me. But what was I talking about? Brandy. Oh, yeah. So they need somebody to come in and take down Brandy. And the only one with the balls, probably literally balls, to do it is Ms. Faye Resnick. And she's also got about as much class as Brandy. And she's probably also as good as writing books as Brandy. So
I don't know how to feel about this because I really don't think I have viscerally and actually in reality hated someone on a reality show as much as I really detest Faye Resnick. I mean, she just makes me ill with how just who she is, her personality, her history. That would be amazing.
She became famous by exploiting the fact that her best friend got murdered. So
in like Playboy. I mean,
She's morally corrupt.
She is
the morally corrupt Faye Resnick.
I don't know why I bothered searching for a different phrase. She is morally corrupt. So like that said, I think she would be an amazing addition.
Yeah. Faye Resnick does not annoy me and piss me off as much as everyone else in the world. I mean, I don't like her, but like people really like you said, you have a visceral reaction against her. Mm-hmm. I don't have that against her, but I think that she's just like, you know, she's stupid and well, not stupid, but she's just annoying, you know, but I would totally welcome her back on the show.
Even if she wasn't a horrible human being and deserves to get, like, hit by a Mack truck for all the nasty shit she's pulled in her life, I would hate her for the simple fact that as a remodeler, decorator, she paints wicker white and calls and charges people, like, millions of dollars. And that's not okay.
And is incapable of remodeling her own face appropriately.
Yeah. Move the couch over the nose. So, are we done with Beverly Hills? Because we still got a month of this bullshit. So let's move on to Atlanta. The ladies in Atlanta are not disappointing this year. They are going to town every single week. They've got something going on. And even our newest housewife, Uncle Ben, Peter.
He was my favorite.
Is really making his effort to roll around the mud with the other bitches. And you gotta love that.
And he always acts like he's not. In fact, when like he and Apollo and Todd went to some like cigar bar in the resort, he was like, he's like, just how these ladies get up into yapping, the guys gotta talk too. I'm like, don't act like it's just the ladies who are yapping. You were the one who started up with Portia last week, mister.
And you don't have to. Like, nobody's sitting there making you sit there and gossip like, yeah, no, you don't have to. Stop saying that.
Not only that, he said that, and then he starts immediately talking about Apollo wanting to fuck Kenya. It's like, what the hell, dude? But Apollo, okay. So all the guys are sitting down there talking. Well, first of all, we got to see them go look at these caves, and they were all afraid of it.
And by the way, my favorite part of the entire episode is that when Kenya says, we're going to be going to caves, which are like underground caverns.
Yes! I'm like, yes, I wrote like, that down.
I think we're pretty well aware of what caves are. Caves. I think caverns are underground, too.
Caves might be short for caverns. Call me crazy.
Yeah, so part of it was
There is technically a difference between caves and caverns, but I don't think the delineation is that one is above ground and one is below ground.
Yeah, I think they're pretty closely related enough that you could probably interchange those words and nobody would be confused.
Yeah, I think if you said we're going to go to the caves, we'd pretty much have a good idea of geographically where we're going vis-a-vis above ground and below ground.
I have to say, watching them wear hard hats, I got really upset because I went, spelunking or a tour of some big cave in Arizona. And nobody gave us hard hats. And now I'm wondering just how much danger I was in with my family a couple of years ago. Wait a minute.
I would think some of those weaves could act like a hard hat.
That's a good point.
I'm sorry. Someone commented we should look at the Bravo blogs this week because they're really funny. But, oh, damn it, I don't want to read them all. And I didn't pre-read them.
It's okay. We don't have to read the Bravo blogs this week. We'll read them next week.
Okay. Sorry, everybody. I'm reading this book called The Fault in Our Stars, and it's about kids with cancer. So I'm sorry I didn't read the Bravo TV blogs, all right? I'm making an effort at actual literature.
It's okay. Alex and I are going to spend the rest of the podcast talking about caves and caverns.
But you know what? There is a character in there who's missing a leg. And of course, I was like, poor Aviva. I feel for Aviva. She could have died.
I just
in a cave.
The last time I tried to, like... get myself back into reading was when I like caved and bought a bunch of soap opera magazines.
Oh my god, you just used cave.
When you caverned.
When you caverned. You know, caverning, it's like when you cave into something, but underground.
But what did you? What books did you get?
I don't know that they can be termed books, but Soap Opera Digest and the ABC version of Soap Opera Weekly. General Hospital. I bought Oreos, a frozen pizza. I was really impressed. I bought Oreos, a frozen pizza, and a bunch of soap opera magazines. And then I read them in like 15 minutes because, you know, soap opera magazines.
Yeah.
I was really bored.
I used to subscribe to Soap Opera Digest because I used to be a huge NBC soap fan. Days of Our Lives, Another World, Sunset Beach, Passions.
NBC had the best opening. They have the best opening music. Like Another World had a great credits theme, and so did Sunset Beach. It was all mysterious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sunset Beach was the beginning of Eddie Cimrian. Yes. I mean, that's when we
know. And also the other Spelling Kid.
Oh yeah, Aaron Spelling. No,
God bless him. No, was he Aaron the midget?
No, the midget died.
No, that was on Passions, too.
The midget died. Passions I loved because all the guys were always shirtless and muscular.
I could not love Passions.
And also because Haley Mel's sister was on there as the witch.
And you got really had everything. Been like to have been like Haley Mills' sister. I'm like, oh, you just get ugly and bitter, huh?
God, I love soap operas.
Well, there has to be a way to somehow combine the worlds of Passions with the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh yeah, we just need a little magic on that show.
Magic and some Phaedra guys were shirtless that look good. I guess Apollo can do that.
Was it Phaedra? Who's Phaedra? I'm sorry. Apologize, listeners. I watched Atlanta for the first time last night. I'm trying to keep up with who's who, but Phaedra and somebody else were in the pool talking about how they were having none of this shaman business about fertility. They only need Jesus Christ. Nobody else but Jesus Christ. They keep asking me to go, but I guess they didn't ask me this time because they knew I'd say no. I got Jesus.
Yeah, that was Portia.
Okay.
All I need is to be Jesus-ified.
It's like, shut up. But yeah, Portia, and I love that they're talking about how into Jesus they are while slamming everybody.
Oh my god. Boozing it up in really slutty bikinis. Yeah. Name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost.
So yeah, they're still in Mexico, and it was a pretty fun, I mean, I just laughed the whole time on this show. I love this show, but the big fight was actually with Kenya and Apollo. Because Apollo's kind of a Brandy Glanville when he fights. He doesn't know anything. He just kind of yaps stupidly in a really high-pitched voice and clearly, doesn't say anything.
Clearly terrified of his wife. Clearly.
Well, wouldn't you be? Well, she's like a crime lord.
Oh my god, when she came like bumbling up those stairs, I was like, what is he doing talking to her?
Yeah.
Like, oh god, I'm actually a little nervous for this guy.
You should be. So he can get you through the TV. But yeah, he was, so Kenya confronted him and of course started out with 5 tequila shots and then acted like she was going to flirt with him and give him a lap dance, which is the only reason he went to talk to her alone.
Oh, absolutely.
And then she's like, basically said, all this stuff you've been saying about me trying to get you to a hotel room and boning you, that's all a lie. Just admit that it's a lie because you were making me look stupid. And
meanwhile, this comes on the heels of her spending 10 minutes of airtime trying to get him out of his chair to go to the bar.
Yes. But it was to tell, you know, it was to have this scene so she could be vindicated on national TV because he's been lying about her, supposedly, which I believe her, actually.
Well, and he never actually admitted to lying. So all of this is for naught. And now Phaedra's in the mix, so it's just going to be ugly for the next, like, 20 minutes of the next episode.
Well, they hate each other anyway, so yay. But, yeah, she... I mean, he kind of did admit it because he said he said yes to everything she was saying. He was just saying,
I could get in your pants if I wanted to. I could do that. I could get in your pants if I wanted to.
It's kind of why Portia and my Apollo are the same. But I think they're shades very of similar.
Nuances.
Yeah, I think they're fairly similar. But yeah, he was just like, well, I could get in your pants. Like, oh no.
Even if he did lie about this and start spreading rumors about her, she's inviting it every step of the way, prancing around in her bikini, asking him to get in, like, into the cave, into the pond in the cave with her, into the spring. The cave spring. Asking him to do that, constantly, like, clearly trying to get screen time with him. She's totally puppet mastering this as well. I mean, it's complete, like, stop complaining that he's spreading rumors.
It's like a fine line. Thing. She's like, yes, I've tried to bone you a million times, but at least I didn't text you to come screw me in a hotel. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. You're totally classy now.
Yeah. You're up here, and then minusculely, he's down there.
Yeah. You guys can't he's down there in the cave.
In the cavernous.
in her lady cave.
That's something you need a hard hat for.
Also, yeah. Another hilarious...
Yeah, there are a lot of stalactites and stalagmites in there.
Another hilarious part of this to me, some which hot I know springs. It wasn't supposed to be hilarious, but speaking of dried out old caves that are never going to reproduce anything ever again, let's talk about Kenya's dark, cold, bat-infested...
bat cave.
Rat poop-covered cavernous cave.
Guano covered ovaries.
I have never more believed the statement black don't crack than when I was watching this whole conversation. And she was like, well, I met a guy when I was 35 and wanted to have kids, and I was like, how the fuck old are you now? She looks amazing.
Yeah, she looks damn good. She's nearing 50,
she's like,
I think.
Thomas Ravenel.
No, I think she's like 43, 44.
I'm going to look this up. Kenya Moore age.
I really liked that segment, to be honest.
Yeah, I did too, to be honest, too. I'm going to really be honest as well. I'm going to one-up your honesty with my honesty.
Let's just hold hands and be honest together, Ben. It'll be great.
Let's go into a cave of honesty.
Yeah, she's 43 years old.
I'm going to blow some smoke in your face.
Well, I think the whole thing is hilarious because she's getting a shaman to make her pregnant. And it's like, honey, I mean, I didn't know she was 43. I thought she was nearing 50. But look, how old are we going to get and still try and have babies? Yeah. I think we all need, as a society, need to draw a line. You know, my parents are obnoxious and they had me young, and they're old enough now that they're already making me crazy. I could only imagine if they had me when they were like 50. I mean, now they'd be, I don't want to be cleaning up your poop when I'm in the best times of my life. Like, I should be a senior citizen when I have to clean up your poop. Does that make any sense? Like, yeah. You're having these kids, but then you're putting them in the bad position of having to take care of you at way too young of an age. Stop it. Just adopt older children.
I know. I mean, look at Aviva, by the way. Aviva looks like she's pushing 50, and she's got like a 2-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how did that happen? Was that natural?
I don't want to know. Aviva and sex.
Maybe there was a ghostwriter.
We're looking at how old Kenya Moore is, and it has the ages of three other housewives beneath her: Nini 46, Candy 37, and Kim Zolciak 35. And Kim Zolciak looks so much older than Kenya.
Kim Zolciak, meanwhile, is turning out baby after baby. Like, she eats like a Cheeto and gets pregnant.
Every baby is like a down payment. It's like another 10 years of money that she has with this dude. So she's like, she gets like 5 or 6.
Yeah, she's but
like,
they're saying that again. She's already broke. I mean, Kim Zolciak spends so much more money than they make. Like, he's not one of those football players who makes like $12 million a year.
No,
like,
Real Housewives is his only endorsement.
Yeah, he's like a blue collar football player.
I think he's injured too.
He's injured.
He was injured last season, and I wonder if he got dropped by the Falcons. I don't know. I will look it up.
Yeah, there's something weird going on there, but she's spending too much money, and that girl needs to save her money. Mm-hmm. And stop having babies.
There's no such thing as saving money in Atlanta.
Well, not at that house. She's ridiculous. Okay, so what else happened on Atlanta? That feel good baby crap I was not buying, because she needs to stop that. She doesn't even have a man that she doesn't have to hire to show up. So I don't want to hear it.
I noticed that the decor in Atlanta is really similar to the decor in Orange County.
Yes, it is.
But that was like very, a lot of prefabricated design going on. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of granite countertops and roosters, like roosters in the kitchen.
From a sociological perspective,
it's called new money.
Yeah.
New money in a smaller city than Los Angeles or New York.
New money, old caves.
And also, similar to the kitchens on Real Housewives of New Jersey, actually, if you think about it.
No, I mean, if you seriously, with the Real Housewives, you have New Jersey, Atlanta, and Orange County are all like the super new money. You know, those are people who are not like, they're able to buy McMansions.
Going to jail for fucking robbing people to buy McMansions.
There's like old, like some sketchiness about it. Like maybe they don't even really own those homes. And then you have New York and Beverly Hills, where there's real money. New York is closer to old money than Beverly Hills. And then Miami also, I think there's real money in Miami. Miami is a little bit of everything, you know, because I think Leah Black for sure is real money. Mm-hmm. And I think Adriana, well, she's like a fraud.
Frederick.
And then, you know, I don't know where Marisol lands, where she lands. But definitely Jersey, Atlanta, Orange County, hardcore new money.
Well, I think it's interesting too, because New York is still, it's got to be fairly new money, because no old money New Yorker is going to go on a reality show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But
Beverly Hills is new money, but it's like
old money with these shows.
And Beverly Hills is new money, but it's like Los Angeles new money is its own beast. Like Los Angeles invented new money with actual money. So they are just a whole different, breed of
society. Los Angeles isn't worried about like passing that money on to you know, they're like, adopt a few Africans, you know, do some drugs. We'll be dead by the time we're 35 anyway. Let's party.
Yeah. I think the difference between New York, the New York money and the Beverly Hills money that we see is that the Beverly Hills, they're big new money. They have a lot of money and it's new, and they're also the top. I mean, there is definitely some old money out here. They're like Pasadena, whatever. There's some huge money, some people with old stores of money.
But it's just now getting old.
It's basically like they're new money and they're the top. Whereas in New York, what we're seeing is relatively new money, and they hang with old money that we don't see, I feel like. You know, they're not in the old money circle, but they hang with the old money circle. Which might be a great segue into Southern Charm, which is definitely old money.
Oh yeah, that is old money. It's also old men trying to get into young panties.
It certainly is. You know, I can't believe Thomas Ravenel is 50 though. I know when you look at him, it does make sense that he's 50, but he actually dresses very youthfully. That I thought he was like 40.
And uses youthful drugs as well.
He really does. He knows. You know, he found the fountain of youth, and it's in cocaine.
That was what really shocked me about it. When I read that he was 50, my jaw dropped, first of all. But then what really shocked me, I was like, you have clearly, there's no way you started doing drugs when you were in your 40s. Like, he's been doing this easily for 30 years. And how the fuck do you drink and do coke for 30 years and look like that?
I know. I mean, he really looks young.
He sleeps a lot. You know, Penelope Cruz sleeps like 16 hours a day, she said in some interview. And that's how she stays so young.
I do that. It's not working.
I know, I sleep a lot too. I look like shit.
I'm lazy as fuck.
You know, I find actually that Thomas Ravenel is a very interesting character to watch too. Because his life is fairly complex. It sort of looks simple because he just sits around on a boat and fishes and drinks. Mm-hmm. But like, to come from that much money and to come from that name and that pedigree, and to be 50 and there's like just, he's basically still acting like a 20-year-old. But you know that there's all this pressure on him. I find it fascinating.
I think what I loved his conversation with Shep on the boat this week when Shep basically was like, dude, I understand that you want to still be in politics, but you did a bunch of blow and Charlestonians do not like that. Like, have you thought about maybe going in a different direction? And he was just like, no, the city's in my blood. I love it. I want to be in politics and shit. What else can happen to me at this point? I've been to prison and I've lost my reputation, so I might as well just keep going. And this is what I want to do. And it was really impressive. I was like, oh, all right.
It was impressive, but I think what he fails to realize is that you can always rebuild your reputation, and being on this reality show is not doing him any favors. I mean, Marion Barry was reelected into office, so if he can do it, so can this guy.
So can T-Rav.
Well, I think that's what he's counting on. He's just going to be the bad boy and hope they elect him that way. But my favorite way is how he phrased that when he was like, they've already taken my reputation. They've already taken my freedom. It's like they did not take it.
Nobody took it.
Okay. Like,
yeah.
You were funneling drug money through the Treasury office. Like, that's not, you were not some victim. And also, how long did you serve? Not long. Like, you're totally fine. You still have your mansions and your money. Like, I'm really sick of rich people like being victims of shit when they get caught doing illegal crap. Like, I'm not gonna feel bad for you, stupid. Like, you just built a polo field that cost $1 million so you could feel better. Please.
I love that I think my favorite part of his, whenever he gets off on a tangent about, you know, what he's gone through, he's like, I did my time. It's like, no, honey, you did 10 months and then somebody else did the rest of your time.
Okay? Yeah, no kidding.
That's not time. You did 10 months in a prison with a bocce ball court. Okay?
Yeah. A poor person would have done would still be in there. They'd die in there.
Well, also, I mean, he's running on, I think, he wants to run with the Libertarian Party because he's a libertarian, right? And I'm just going to assume, I don't know this as a fact, but I'm just going to assume that he's probably banned from the Republican Party. So there's no way, there's no way as a libertarian he's going to win anything. So he should just give up.
Well, and the only things that he can run for because he is a felon is the Senate, the House of Representatives, and the presidency. So unless he's one of two major parties, I don't really see his future.
And also, I don't remember the last time a Bravo star ever had any political any political wins. Oddly enough, MTV, yes. Bravo, no.
Well, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger, even though he wasn't a reality star, he was a really cheesy action star. And I think that he's kind of opened the door to really stupid people getting into office.
Sounds well, you know, the thing is this, oddly enough, I enjoy the idea of a candidate having a completely honest, you know, relationship with the people, being like, this is what I did, whatever, and this is what I believe, and I don't care what you think about my reputation, I just want to get the job done. Because that's so refreshing than the canned responses that you hear from every politician. So it, for me personally, I would actually rather enjoy watching Thomas Ravenel run for major office. But realistically, it's just it's never going to happen. How is he going to be able to defend himself when they show him like waking up in bed with the Barbie of the Senate, or whatever Barbie. That girl is, Catherine, you know, or like or the how transparent his motives are for getting into a relationship with someone. He pretty much only wants to get married for his political career. You know, how are you going to be able to defend that on a large scale? And by the way, I also love that I'm actually discussing this like I'm on the McLaughlin group, like this is going to go somewhere.
I take it just as seriously, especially since I'm recapping it. So I'm intimately acquainted with all these people and care about them like they're my real friends. I cannot wait to go to Charleston this summer because my mom and I are going to take a trip together and had planned to do so before I started recapping this. And I'm like writing down restaurants to go to and like...
Oh my God, I want to go really so badly after this show. This show makes me really want to go to Charleston.
It's my favorite part of the show is just seeing like the exteriors and the different homes and stuff because I'm a geek for that. I'm very Cameron about architecture and real estate.
I love Cameron. I loved her on The Real World and I love her on this show too.
Yeah,
she's super cute. I like that girl. What about the girl who's like supposedly some punk? Obviously living off some rich guy and the assistant girl who's like an idiot and hilarious. Dance party. Yeah, she's like, hey, well, how do you afford this house? How do you pay for this house? And she's like, with my bank account? How do you pay for your house? She's like, yeah, what do you do? She goes, from working, what do you do? And she's like,
I'm a fashion student.
Investments. She's like, investments. But like, what does that mean? Like, you invest in things? She's like, yeah, I invest in things.
I invest in dick, like old rich dick.
It was the blind fighting with the blind. It was so funny.
I make a penis deposit into my vaginal bank and money comes out.
Basically, between Jenna, that's her name, Jenna and Whitney, the two of them are trying so hard to be like alternative and like cool and like non-Charleston. But they just look like idiots because that's not the way anyone outside of Charleston looks.
No. And it's also not, if anybody who really wants to live in like the fringes of society, like that's the Charlestonian version of the fringes of society. The actual fringes of society involve way more grease and way more tattoos. Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. I'd like to see those two like go to Silver Lake and like survive an afternoon.
Act like they didn't look like they belonged in Beverly Hills. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They'd be like, a thrift shop? Well, I never. I'm very happy that Bravo wedged in a tiny little moment with Whitney's mom because I'm like obsessed with this woman.
I've done significant amounts of research on Pat Ashtell.
First, I love that her name is Pat.
Mm-hmm.
It all begins and ends there, honestly. But then she reminds me of what Designing Women I feel like she was the inspiration for Designing Women.
Oh yeah, she's Julia Sugarbaker.
No, she's like she's all of them rolled into one.
Wait, who's the mom? Which mom? Whose mom?
Pat Whitney's mom with the pink pistol and the gay personal chef.
Oh, when you said Whitney, I'm like, what girl have we seen their mom? No. But I forgot that
Whitney is a boy with Chuck Bass's haircut.
The balding wig.
Yeah, the balding wig. The guy who's like trying to be hip and cool, who, by the way, only hangs out with girls.
Yeah.
I mean, not saying anything about that,
lives
but
with his mother.
I called him Norman Bates Capote. like true Norman Bates Capote for the first three.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, his mom is the best, and I love. That,
I don't like it. Let me say it again. I
don't like her. I don't like her.
Isn't that a little out of your realm?
I just love, you know, honestly, she could be doing nothing. Just when she was reading about her Birkin bag that came through, she was just like, this is a pink Birkin bag, exclusive. I'm like, go on, just speak.
Possibly the rarest and most difficult to find Birkin bag. Like, I don't even want to imitate her because there's just no, I can't even come close. I can't.
I hope her chef, her gay chef, realizes that he has pretty much the best job in the country. That he gets to hang out with her all day long.
I think that's why he's so damn happy.
Yeah, he is really happy. He's really happy.
He's really gay.
Yeah.
Really gay.
super gay.
And both the happy and the gay.
And the fact that Whitney is around us 24/7 and has nothing but girlfriends makes you wonder.
Mm-hmm. Hold
that. Let's talk. Well, the best thing in Southern Charm is coming next week because that redheaded little hoe that Ravenel hooked up with on the first night that they met apparently went and hooked up with one of his friends like the next night or something. Shep. Or like, yeah, a couple Shep. A couple days later. And now she's telling off Ravenel for not giving her enough respect. It's like, bitch, you slept with him after knowing him for 2 hours, and then you slept with his best friend like the next day. How much respect exactly do you think you're gonna get? She's
and I mean, you one. Dye your hair red. That's just like a no-no in Charleston.
That's magenta.
Like, who do you think you are, Jenna? Being all crazy and alternative and like a fringe of society.
Yeah, what are you, an artist?
What are you, like, an independent voice?
So she is saying that she could be pregnant, and that is going to be hilarious because that is so, as Derek Hazelden put it on our page, that is so old school soap opera being ripped off. Yeah, who's the daddy?
Do you guys remember the Days of Our Lives storyline when it was Stefano and John? It was Stefano DiMera and John Black, and it was was it Kristen's baby or it was no?
Yeah, it was Kristen. You are main. Oh, it was Kristen's like stupid twin, Susan. Yeah.
You're main, Christine.
God bless Eileen Davidson.
And she would have these delusions that Elvis was the baby's dad, and Elvis would come on and sing to the baby. God, I love that. I miss that show.
And her teeth got smaller when she put in her prosthetic, and got bigger when she took it out. Sorry.
Anyone who watches Days of Our Lives is going to love that. But the rest of you, sorry. So that's going to be great next week. Something I wanted to bring up was people are asking on our Facebook page about this American Male, this dating rituals of the American Male, and why we aren't covering it. Okay. If you want us to, I guess we'll watch it. But here's what I'm not. I watched it with Ben, and 15 minutes into it, I was like, no, I can't. No. Nope. Bye. I actually left his house. I was like, bye.
Yeah,
it was
he did. Fun to see he you. Actually
have fun watching the rest of this bullshit.
he disappeared. We were eating pizza, and he was just like, "See ya."
Yeah, I was like, "Bah, good to hang out with you." I'm not subjecting myself to this. So I thought it was stupid, but everybody is apparently really loving it. And I guess the point is that they're supposed to be douchey and hilarious. But I don't know. Yeah. Those kind of
I watched the rest of the episode this week. Actually, I took a week off before finishing the episode. You know, I did enjoy it. I felt like it was fake, though. I mean, it felt very stagey, but, you know, I liked it. Am I compelled to go watch it again? Not really.
I like that Bravo, I think with Southern Charm and with this show, Bravo is actually getting a little bit more male-centric. Like, there are, like, not necessarily in its demographics, but in who's actually on the show. I mean, Tom got so much attention on Vanderpump Rules, and the cast of Southern Charm is 4-2 men to women, and the men get far more attention. And this show is about straight males, yes, and is basically populated by straight males. Like, it's not women interviewing them, essentially, right?
I think, hopefully, Bravo is realizing something. That, like, I think that the Bravo viewers like their women to be older and fussy, and they like their men to be younger and hot. And that's all you have to do. Because when there's younger women on Bravo, it's always like, oh, these vapid women, get them off my screen, you know? Older men, you're like, ugh, these old farts, get them off my screen. But you switch it around, it's perfect.
Beautiful.
What did you think about the Blood, Sweat, and Heels finale?
It was fine. it was like everything else in the series, which was that, like, it was leading up to something explosive, and then they kind of dealt with it in a semi-mature way, and it kind of fizzled out. I mean, I still like the show. I'm holding out hope that it'll be better next season. I love the way the show began. I was a big fan. And then it fizzled out over the course of the season. The reunion looks great, though.
They're going to have a reunion for that show?
Did that reunion take place on Watch What Happens, like the first?
The reunion was at, I think it's in the Bravo clubhouse, as they say.
Right, because that's what they did for Vanderpump Rules the first year. Their reunion, I think, was...
No, it was for, not for Vanderpump Rules, it was for Above Deck.
Oh, yeah, that's Below Deck. Yeah.
It was the deck show.
I'm so excited to come back as well.
I don't really watch Below Deck. I don't watch Maids. But what was I going to say about Blood, Sweat, and Heels? I don't know what they're going to have a reunion about. Bitch, you are drunk. Just say, I'm a sloppy drunk. Sorry, yeah. I flashed my vagina at your office party and end it. Why do you cannot just use your dead dad? It's like her Lyme disease. Like, that is not an excuse for everything. Just stop it.
I agree. I'm a big fan of Micah. I think she's hilarious. And I think that she's more in the right in this. In general, I like her side more than the other side. But I think Bree was right. I mean, when Bree says, you know what, my opinion is that you're a sloppy drunk, I think Micah has to accept that that's a reality. You might not be an alcoholic, but you are a sloppy drunk. And you have to realize that when you're a sloppy drunk, you're going to piss off people regardless of what's happening in your personal life.
And then those girls, her friends were standing up for her and saying, you shouldn't be calling her a drunk. That's name calling.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Yeah, I thought that was, I thought that they were defending her. You're right.
They defended her. And then she's like, I felt alone. My friends didn't even defend me. And then now she's mad at them. It's like, shut up. No one needs to defend you. You know who's going to defend you when you're pulled over? Nobody. Some lawyer from the back of a bus, because you're going to fail your fucking drunk driving test because you're a drunk. So just say you're a drunk and be okay with it. Look at the mom on Southern Charm. She's a drunk and we love her. It's like, just be okay with who you are and it'll be okay. But this denial and blaming shit on your dead dad is just stupid. That whole show. And Daisy, your wig, and you're wearing a sun hat at night. Okay?
Yeah.
The whole show. I mean, just
Daisy.
Stop.
Daisy annoys me a little bit, but, you know, I don't know. I think the show has potential. I think it started off really strongly, and then it kind of, like, ended on a whimper, and this little dinner on a boat was like, whatevs.
Yeah, I don't know about that show. They're not even friends with each other, and they don't want to be friends with each other. So it's like, I don't really see how this one's going to do anything unless they recast the whole thing. It's not like a Married to Medicine where you knew it was faked, but at least they all went there. You know, they all made an effort to make it work.
Well, Married to Medicine,
and it looks like well, even like Jackie, Dr. Jackie, this season is going to get into it with someone.
Yeah, she's like, well, I know you call yourself a doctor when you're just a dentist. And the girl's like, a dentist is a doctor. It's like, your name is Harmony, okay? No one, or it's like something like Harmony or Symphony. It's like, no one is going to listen to anything you have to say, okay? Harmony.
By the way, speaking of Blood, Sweat, and Heels, did anyone see the Micah's performance of her song about turkey bacon?
No.
Because remember in the season premiere of this show?
Yeah.
The very first, almost one of the first things that we saw was like Micah in bed being like, I want some turkey bacon. I want some turkey bacon. Like, she did this, like, song that was actually really funny. So now she's turned it into, like, a dance song. And she, at the reunion, she sings it. She has, like, these two shirtless dancers singing along with her. It's sad.
Well, I like that everybody's really learned to celebrate the sadness. And this Real Housewives Award is about to ruin the entire franchise. Because now they're all going to be fighting on purpose, trying to win a stupid award on Watch What Happens Live.
You oh my God, that's next weekend, isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to have to watch that.
Yeah, we will.
Oh. All right, we are... So yeah, you guys, watch it. I think it's on the 23rd. So we'll be watching that. But we need to wrap up. It is time to gyah.
It's time to gyah.
So thank you guys for listening. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens and on Twitter at whatcrappens. You can find me, Ronnie Karam, at Ronnie Karam on Twitter or at Trash Tweet TV for all of the writer's recaps on trashtalktv.com. You can find Ben at B-Side Blog on all the good social media outlets or at bsideblog.com for really funny recaps. And you can find Alex at
ALX August at Twitter.
Yeah. And she's also recapping she's recapping Southern Charm at Trash Talk TV, too.
Please watch Southern Charm, y'all. The ratings are not great. I'm really worried about it, but it's such a good show.
Yeah, you see.
I'm a big fan. And by the way, do like us on Facebook, and I promise I won't snap at you. I just am very hangry today.
Hangry.
Be nice to me, too, because it's my first turn.
Yeah.
Good luck with that, Alex.
No, we love you guys. We love all you have to say.
So we do. We actually really do.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. And thank you for hanging out with us on our Facebook page too. We have a lot of fun with you today. There's like 35 comments on there about stuff to talk about on the show. And I think we got all of them. I think we did. Except this one. I'll end with this one from Diane. Can we talk about Aviva and her home elevator? Like, does she have someone on her staff to hold her hand every time she uses it? Does Reed have to stay home to help her? Maybe there are signs on every floor saying, rah, rah, Aviva, you did it. So thank you guys for posting on there, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me. takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.